Welcome to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth, bringing you interviews with top business professionals, empowering you to understand our current business climate and the successes and struggles other business professionals have overcome. Here's your host, Nick Boer.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast. This is your host, Nick Boer with Inspire Wealth. And today we have on with us Julia Block Pearson, who owns a marketing company that really has had a lot of success in differentiating themselves in a very competitive world in digital marketing. So Julia, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm really excited.
No problem. Glad to have you here as well. And I'm excited because a lot of my listeners have heard me say this over and over again. I have really done my best to really do my due diligence, not only as a business owner, but also in my space, to find digital marketing companies and how they're different and what are some of their advantages. Because, you know, we've all heard, you know, all these digital marketing companies out there that portray themselves as that. And a lot of what they're doing is really just Facebook ads. And that's such a big piece of what they do. And what does that really do for the business based on, are you a service-oriented business? Are you a financial planning firm like myself? Like, what are you really trying to do? Are you trying to build brand awareness? Are you trying to actually get leads? So, you know, some of the things that I really want to talk to you about today is how you guys are different. So let's start with, tell me a little bit about your story, Julia, how you started the business, kind of where you've come and what's really been working for you?
For sure. So I started this business back in 2018, the beginning of 2018. I used to be in nonprofit work. I actually used to live in your state, on the other side of the state, near Niles, Michigan. I was working in a nonprofit there as a case manager. But I was also the youngest person at the nonprofit, so I often got put in charge of social media and the website. And so I started learning all of these things and started realizing, hey, this is what I love doing. I loved the people that I was working with, but I was getting really burnt out with case management. And so I started just doing projects for friends. And one of the things that I did was a Giving Tuesday. For those listeners who aren't sure what Giving Tuesday is, it is the Tuesday after Black Friday, and it's basically almost like a paying penance for our greediness or our splurging on Black Friday. And Giving Tuesday is a day where a lot of nonprofits get grants matched, etc.
Gotcha.
So I helped a friend with a Giving Tuesday campaign, randomly. We raised $5,000 in 24 hours, and I left thinking, wow, I just did that for free. I wonder if somebody would pay me for that. So I had reached my max at my job. I had a few uncomfortable situations happen, and I gave myself 3 months. I had 3 months of living expenses saved up, so I told myself, okay, you have to get at least one client in 3 months because that'll serve as proof of concept.
Yep.
So I did. Granted, back then I charged $500 for what I now charge $3,000 for, and so I was not charging as much as I could have been, should have been, but it was an excellent way to get started as a freelancer.
Okay.
Within a year, I was overflowing. My business was overflowing with work, and so I brought a friend on. Then I brought another person on, and so slowly we started building this team of W-2 employees, which at the time people would tell me, hey, that's really risky. And like you and I just spoke about a little bit, it was risky once we hit COVID because all of a sudden – I was like, oh gosh, these people are depending on me for work, and what am I going to do? And so that's kind of the beginning, the beginnings of the story. Now we have 7 or 8 W-2 employees. And we do social media, we do websites, and we do email marketing for a lot of our clients.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. I mean, to say in that you started, you know, just over, let's say, 4.5 years ago, and, you know, mm-hmm. the way you started, and now you have 7 or 8 W-2 employees, that's really impressive in my mind, especially in a highly competitive space in digital marketing, mm-hmm. which obviously, you know, I can relate to the highly competitiveness because, you know, mm-hmm. with Inspire Wealth, you know, our financial planning firm, that space is obviously also very highly competitive and very service-based. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting how you did that over, you know, over those mm-hmm. 4.5 years. So tell me, I know some of the things that you have kind of said to me already, like how you feel some of the advantages you've had, some of the steps you've taken to make sure you guys are successful. I know one of the things you said is helping make sure you build a team-like culture and creating a teamwork-based culture and how that's really helped mm-hmm. you guys and also how it's helped some of your other clients. So tell me a little bit about that and how does that look?
Yeah, so the job that I left in order to start my business was an incredibly toxic work environment. And so that was really a big problem for me. And so as I was hiring, I wanted to create an environment that I enjoyed working in, but then also my team would enjoy working in. Everybody will tell you, like, retention is, like, more cost-effective than turnover, and it's true, but also just nobody wants to be miserable at work. Like, we spend a good majority of our lives in work, so we should enjoy it. So as I started working on this business, we started creating a culture guide. My employees weighed in on it. And so now our agency, Stratos Creative Marketing, Stratos is in a way no longer my business. Like, yes, I'm the owner. Yes, I'm the operator. Yes, I carry like all of the financial liability. But it is a composite of each of the employees who work with me. And because we've created such a solid culture, our clients love working with us. And I say that, like, I don't say that, like, to boast about ourselves, but, like, the reviews say it. And so we enjoy our clients, which creates for happier relationships and longer relationships. So we have clients who honestly have been with me for 4 years. And I think that that's one of the things that has helped us be successful, even through downturns in the market and even through, like, public health crises. Those clients have stuck with us because we enjoy each other and because we've created a good culture internally and then with our clients as well.
You know, and I think what the way you just explained that and how you feel the relationships are even a lot stronger, that those clients are going to be with you longer. You know, obviously I can relate to that being in the industry I am. You know, that's my objective in my business as well, is I'm not looking to bring on a client that's only, you know, looking for one thing or only looking for some insight mm-hmm. and is going to be with me 6 months or 12 months. Like, that's just that, number one, that's not cost effective. But number two, mm-hmm. the way that I built my business, and it sounds like a lot of the ways you've built your business, is not only the environment for the employees, but it's also the environment for the clients. And the clients you're attracting really enjoy working with you just as much as your employees, mm-hmm. which is so important in today's world, Julia, because if you mm-hmm. if you can continue to do that and continue to build how you already have, you're going to be able to take your business and build it as much as you want to build it, because you're mm-hmm. doing it in a way to where you obviously are differentiating yourself. You obviously are creating a work environment to where you can add 2, 3, 4 more W-2 employees, and they're obviously not going to go anywhere because you've created an environment that everyone actually enjoys coming to work, which mm-hmm. we all know how hard that is to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one other commonality between like marketing services and financial services is they are both high trust industries. Like
yes.
you have to have high trust. While your clients are handing over almost like the keys to their financial, like their personal finances, and they're giving you the insight into that, we see a lot of business finances, and we have a lot of our clients are placing their confidence and their trust in us to help them accomplish their goals. And I think that that's where, I mean, both of us have probably encountered this where there are stereotypes about other marketers being sleazy or money grabbing.
Yep.
And just like there are financial advisors that you're not sure if you should trust. And I think that that's when you can create a really good culture around how you relate to your clients and your team, then people are going to start seeing, hey, these are people who are worthy of my trust and who are willing to be there for the long haul. Because we have clients who we might try a marketing strategy and it not worked. I mean, marketing is half science, half art, in my opinion.
Yep, and, I agree.
And sometimes it doesn't work. But my clients know that we have a vested interest in them, so we're going to keep on finding things that work. And so they allow us to practice, to try things out, to experiment, because they trust us, knowing that we want what's good for them, just like they want what's good for us.
Yeah, and I think that's what that's a big differentiator for you is that, yeah, again, that there are some digital marketing firms out there that it is just a money grab. That they're just trying to, okay, hey, you're going to pay me a $2,000 or $3,000 a month retainer, and then we're going to do ad spend, or we're going to charge $4,000 a month, including ad spend. Okay, what are we trying to get? Are we trying to get so many new clients? Are we trying to build a database? Like, what are we trying to do? And I think there's so many firms out there that are just trying to grab that money that that business is willing to invest to grow and reach their goals. And I just think that there's so many marketing firms that are doing it to help them grow their business, but they may not have expertise in the area they're even saying they can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big thing. So I think that from what you guys are doing, I think that's great. And you obviously care about your clients, which is also why you have clients with you still from the beginning.
For sure. I mean, I was on a call with somebody recently, and they was one of our clients, and she was like, "I just feel so lucky that we found you." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I feel lucky that we found you."
Yeah.
So that just feels like a really good, like if there was something that I was most proud of for my company right now, that would be one of the things, because we've created a culture where we're friends with our clients and we're seeing them grow just as they're seeing us grow. We're like, our success is tied together with theirs.
And I think that's key. I think that's key for any relationship. Again, I keep relating it back to mine, but it's the same thing. It's like, hey, if I can help my clients reach their financial goals and be financially successful, mm-hmm. not only before retirement, but in retirement, yeah, obviously I want their accounts to grow just as much as they want their accounts to grow, because then my business is growing as well. So it's really the win-win scenario, and you're trying to create that environment that is successful for both of you. And I think that you know, I give you a lot of credit, and I think that shows that you're not just a business person that only cares about money. You're actually caring about your clients, and I think that's very hard to find in today's world. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, no problem. So let's talk next thing I want to talk about a little bit. You kind of told me, you know, obviously a lot of marketing companies talk a lot about leads and how to generate leads, mm-hmm. and what does that look like? And I've done a lot of my own research and talked to a lot of companies, it seems like one of the biggest things when you're talking digital marketing is Facebook. Okay, we're going to use, you know, that's one of the mm-hmm. oldest platforms at this point. a lot of people are on it. We're going to use Facebook, you know, and Facebook ads to bring in leads. So I know you've kind of said you've had a you've had some lead generation programs that you've implemented that you're specifically doing, and you said you've had a lot of success with some of your clients. So tell me a little bit about that. What does that look like, and how do you feel that, you know, you guys are more apt to be able to be a little different than some of the mundane just Facebook ads, and how you're helping your clients?
For sure. Our lead generation service actually was born out of a problem. And that problem was that I started as a social media manager. We love social media, but more and more it is becoming harder for businesses to compete on social media. You have to pay to play. On Facebook, on Instagram, LinkedIn is still pretty fresh. You don't have to pay to play as much over there. But that's coming. It's in the pipeline.
Absolutely.
And so we still wanted to do that for our clients because we loved it, but we didn't feel like we were getting them the results that was that were actually going to drive their business forward. So we started looking into ads, actually, and how we could couple and create a couple of social media organic and social media as ads. To create a better service. And then we realized that we were still missing like a third part, and that was email marketing. Because here's the thing is we can get you, any company can get you leads on Facebook. But what's going to happen to them once they're in your MailChimp, in your MailerLite, whatever you use for your emails, your HubSpot, once they're in there, then what happens? Nothing if you're not following up with them. And so we created this trifecta almost of social media organic, social ads, and then email marketing. So the way it kind of works is, yes, we are doing ads to find new people. We'll often do it with a lead generator. And so that is a PDF or an offer. One of our clients is doing a mini video series that's all free, but we're giving them a free offer. We're delivering it via an ad, and they are giving us their email in exchange for that resource. So right out the gate, we're establishing this authority and this trust between our clients and their clients or their prospects. And then what we're doing is we're following up with emails. So on a we work with our clients to figure out how frequent these emails should be. But say it's every week or every 2 weeks, we're following up with some more resources. We're just building this relationship. If it's not clear, and it probably is, we're really big on relationship. So we want to create relationships with our clients, but we also want to help our clients create relationships with their prospects for their future clients. And with that, we're also doing organic social media. I'm pretty adamant. I refuse to run ads for our clients without doing organic social media, because if you have an ad running and somebody clicks on your profile and you haven't been active on social media, they might think that you're a scam or you're spamming them.
Right.
And so, again, we want to create this level of trust. Where we are reaching our clients with integrity, that we're being consistent. And so on social media, there's a lot of digital marketers out there who might tell you you have to post every day. We don't really believe that. If you see results doing that, like, go for it. But at times, posting every day can actually hurt you more than it can help you. And so we post a minimal amount, but then we're really looking at those ads to deliver those leads. And then we're looking at the emails to nurture those leads into clients. So that's kind of how we have this full circle thing going on. We've had several clients. Depending on the industry, like, everybody's getting clients, like, new prospects at different rates. We have people who are getting them for $5 a new lead. We have other people who are getting them for 70 cents a new lead. And so just depending on that offer, we're always optimizing it so that we can get them really, like, the most leads for their dollars.
Okay. And I think no matter what industry you're in, I think everyone can agree, if you're a business professional or you're a business person, the whole objective is to A, first, get attract the right prospects or the right clients that you feel
sure.
fit your business. But then after that, how do we optimize your marketing to make sure that your cost per lead is being as optimized or as inexpensive as possible? I mean, obviously, if we're going to be able to attract the ideal prospect or client, and we're going to be able to achieve that in a cost-effective manner that is cheaper than either what they've done in the past or what they're doing now, it doesn't matter what that cost is, whether it's $5 a lead or 70 cents, like you said, it's all relative at the end of the day. It's just making sure that you're optimizing it. I mean, and that's all coming from a non-digital marketing business owner. So, please interject, Julia, if you don't disagree or if you don't agree with anything I just said.
No, I agree totally. I think that obviously, with a lot of marketing, we can be tempted to set and forget it. And that's something that we really have to caution against, because even your website, some of the mainstays like of your business that you could potentially set and forget, you should be updating and you should be looking at it, because as you get like closer and closer to getting your ideal client, you're going to start noticing, hey, these are the things that my ideal client is saying, so I should use those exact phrases in my marketing. So that's what we will often do, is we might start with an ad or a social media post with a certain messaging based on what we've researched with our client. But then as they get closer and closer to their ideal client, they might say, hey, this person prefers this over this, so let's switch something. Even down to something silly like, hey, my customers prefer to be called clients rather than customers, or hey, like things like that. If we know those things, then we can switch up some of the verbiage in your marketing and optimize it to get you more of those perfect leads, because anybody can get you leads. Like we've worked with companies who have 15,000 followers, but then we end up finding that their last company paid for bots, which is a terrible thing. Don't let anybody ever talk you into it. And so people can give you like results that are numbers, but are they really translating into those clients? Not just like the lag measures, but like, are we really measuring the right things? So.
Yeah, and I think that makes perfect sense. I think, as you already said this along the way too, every business is going to require a little different message or a little different area of focus to see the same success or results as another business. And it's not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just based on the business and who they're trying to attract and how much they're spending. All of those are variables.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that makes sense to me. So that's great. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I do think that's a big, differentiator is you have those layers that you've built and identified, because it's working from a lead generation standpoint. So I think that's great that you're doing that and that you continue to do that for your clients. So one of the other big areas that I know you mentioned you're also seeing success and that you've evolved over time since you started your business as well, and not every marketing company is obviously doing this or talking about this enough, is you guys are big believers in telling stories in your marketing and whatever that, take that as you want, based on what you're trying to attract. But you believe, and you've seen success in this, that telling stories in that marketing is really beneficial for a lot of your clients. Tell me what that means. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. So if For those of you who are not familiar, like, our history was actually told orally, and it's been passed down as stories for millennia, because as human beings, we remember stories better than we remember facts. Our brains are attuned to it. We are certified in the Story Brand Framework, which is a storytelling framework written by Donald Miller. But the reason that I was attracted to this is because even when I was starting my freelancing career, and even before that, when I was doing marketing on occasion for the previous nonprofits I worked at, every marketer will tell you that you need to tell a story, but nobody actually tells you how. And so we use the Story Brand Framework because it's a 7-part framework that you literally plug in all of your characteristics, all of your parts, and you end up with a story. The difference about this is that we are not telling our stories, we're telling our customers' stories. Because in the end, everybody wants to be the hero of their own story. It makes us sound really prideful, but in fact, it is a human trait that we want to be the heroes of our own stories. And so as businesses, if the business makes themselves the hero, that client or customer is going to go find a different business because they want to be the hero of the story. And so instead, if we can make our businesses like the guides of the story, just like in Lord of the Rings, Frodo has Gandalf, in Star Wars, Luke has Obi-Wan Kenobi, like all of these stories that we're familiar with, they all have the heroes, but they have the guides. And the guides are actually the most powerful character. They just aren't the hero. The hero is actually the weakest one in the story. But without the guide, the hero cannot reach success. And so with this 7-part framework, we start positioning our businesses as the guides and then their customers as the heroes. Because then that customer can't reach success without the business's help. And so it becomes this really pivotal, this really pivotal way to tell a story. I had a client who was actually a nonprofit, and they had always had, it's a really, really, really small town in Wisconsin. Like, picture the smallest town you know and then make it half that size. That town has this food pantry, and they raised, every end of year fundraiser, they would raise $10,000. And so they were taking off a big capital campaign. The executive director was a friend of mine, and she asked me to come and help with their social media and email initiatives for the fundraising. And I walked them through this framework. And by the end of the campaign, they had raised double the amount, $20,000, in 6 weeks. And so while some of your listeners might be like, oh, that's like a piece of change. Like, that's not much, depending on how much they're making. For this community, that was pivotal. Like, that was a huge amount of money for them. And so it was really cool because we suddenly were making the donors the heroes. And this nonprofit was going to guide them and be a trustworthy place where they could donate their end-of-year funds. And I really credit that. That was really the biggest difference that we had from 1 year to the next, where we raised double the amount. And so I've seen it work over and over. And it's because suddenly, as consumers, as clients, we're captivated. As we all know, like, we've all been, like, networking, and halfway through the networking, you're like, I have no idea what this person was saying. And it's because the whole time they were talking about themselves, and they were making themselves the hero of the conversation.
Right.
If you can make yourself the guide, people will listen, and they'll listen longer. I really, truly believe it. And then they'll be more likely to do business with you.
I think that makes a ton of sense, and I completely agree with you. I wish more people thought and were really looking to do that in their business, because I think that this I definitely think us as humans and as consumers, as you said, we want to be that hero. We want to be looked at mm-hmm. that we're really contributing. And, you know, so there's a lot of things mm-hmm. that go into that. But, you know, I think that's mm-hmm. I think that's great, Julia. I really do. So, you know, listen, I've really enjoyed our time here. And I think that you've got a great, thriving and growing marketing business. And I want to make sure our listeners, if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Julia?
Yeah, so our website is stratoscreativemarketing.com. Stratos is STRATOS, like the stratosphere. Okay. And that's where you can find more about us and what we offer. If you want to reach out to me directly, my email is julia@stratoscreativemarketing.com. And you can also find us on all of the social media platforms.
Well, that's great. Well, I can't stress enough, because I have talked to so many different marketing companies myself, and I think that some of the things you're doing are definitely different than a lot of the other mm-hmm. marketing companies out there. So it's obvious that's been a big contributor to your success so far, and I wish you continued success. And, you know, I want to thank all of our... Hey, no problem. I want to thank all of our loyal listeners. This is another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Bohr, with Inspire Wealth, and want to thank everyone for their time, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks so much, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show, or to listen to past episodes, visit www.inspiredbusinessleaderspodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.